Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And we are taking calls this morning, this afternoon, wherever you are. I guess it's all different times across the nation. It looks like we've got callers from all over the United States today. So whatever your time zone, we are taking your calls for psychic readings and discussing the loosely organized brain. It's our second day on this topic. If you haven't heard the first show, please go into the archives. It's a good time to mention that all of our shows are available on archives as well. So I do send out invitations. If you're not able to attend live, the shows are available once the show is completed on Blog Talk Radio in the archive section of the show, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and they're also available on podcast and iTunes. We invite our listeners and callers to send us a friend request, like Neil Baker Psychic, send Neil and Kristen Baker a friend request, or follow us on Facebook. You can like our show, and that way you can stay connected with our show schedule here on Blog Talk Radio. And the number for readings today, 914-338-0164. Please do press 1, callers. I do notice that 501 area code does not have their hand raised, so you do need to press 1 to do that. 562-596-7818. My brain's a bit loosely organized today. I'm trying to get everything in because we started the show a little late. But 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation after the show. Okay, so.
And we'll be getting to our callers, so please stay in line.
Yeah, stay in line.
We'll be doing your readings for you today. We're just talking briefly. We want to get a few words in about
a few words in. We're probably going to have to extend the topic because this is too much to cover in two shows, but that's okay. We can do that. All right. So loosely organized brain, where'd we leave off?
Well, I don't recall where we exactly left off, but where we can continue at any given point here is the relationship between the brain's activity and inactivity. When we're dealing with the activity of the brain, what we're really doing is how does one in their life fill their activity? Do you do it with worry? Do you do it with struggle of survival? Do you do it with the pursuit of knowledge and learning? A lot of people say, well, you know, it's a little bit of everything. Well, sure, life is composed of all these components of existence. All of us are struggling and working and trying to make a living, being worried at times, concerned, scared. That's all part of the general organization of the brain. It's when we have a disorganized brain that one concept overrules another. Some of us, in the pursuit of knowledge, we tend to neglect our responsibilities. And then some of us, in the pursuit of our responsibilities, tend to forget how to be knowledgeable. So we have this constant battle going on in our brain, and the relationship as to who we are and how we can best function in the world is very dependent on the sort of structure and organization of our brain.
And this is on a psyche level.
Well, it's on a psyche level, but it's still interconnected.
Interconnected with the actual physical mechanism of the brain.
Yeah, and the parts of the brain that are more highly developed and other parts, the more motor coordination, the intellectual coordination, mm-hmm. all that. But where we're also coming from is another variable that is not usually attributable to the brain, and that's karma. the brain receives karma. And in the concept of karma with the brain, we get deeper into the idea of past life activity in the brain. If we are to assume that the brain is this organ, this mechanism that is filled with consciousness, and we can't quite define consciousness, we can perhaps locate where consciousness arises from the brain, but the general content of consciousness. What does it say in consciousness that we have to believe in God or gods, or that we have to believe in an afterlife? Where does all these ideas come from? When we get into the idea of that, we get into the portion of the brain that is the cosmic brain, the part of the brain that is trying to grasp and understand that which is well beyond any environmental or physical reality. So in that regard, we get into the journey of the soul, because just as we can't really define in tangible form exactly the puzzle of consciousness, we can't exactly define in conscious form the idea of the afterlife or the soul, where the soul comes from, or the spirit. These are all very esoteric terms, but they do help to organize the content and balance of the brain. So when we get into the brain aspect of our existence, we're also getting into what kind of content our brain has in terms of soul and spirit. So,
well, I mean, doesn't everyone's brain have content in terms of soul and spirit? It's just a matter of how the person accesses that content. I mean, we come into the, I mean, we've talked on the show before about the cosmic brain, and it's either going to be utilized and accessed, or it's going to remain dormant.
Well, you know, there's a certain separation when you define soul and spirit, because we're not really dealing with concrete terms. These are abstract terms. And we try to apply the idea of what soul and spirit is and how it may relate to the brain. You really can't, you're not going to find any mechanical technician or doctor that says, well, the soul and the spirit are in the brain. We even tend to say that if we're going to use any metaphor, it's in the heart. You know, oh, he's got soul. We don't say, oh, he's got soul, it's in his brain. He's got soul, it's in his movement. Now, movement, of course, you know, when you look at aspects of movement and you consider certain chemical alignments with that, like dopamine or something like that, that increases our mood level or activity level. That's a brain chemical. And that dopamine actually affects our moods, our appetites, our motor control. When you look at that, does that have any connection to the soul or the spirit? I mean, there are many, you know, you look at the special kids that have
learning
challenges. And you see them dancing, and they have soul, and they're laughing.
Right. There's more. They seem seemingly more spiritual than those that are blessed with more skills coming into the body.
So the intellectual concept is not always equatable to the aspect of soul and spirit.
No, not intellect, but the brain is going to be coded in a certain way. If you have more access to that spiritual brain.
Well, yes. Now, let's say in terms of our past life analogy that there was a past life that was greatly spiritual or greatly, if you will, religious, or the quest, the pursuit of knowledge was very much a part of a past life energy. That's going to be, in my belief, that's going to be captured in the brain, especially if the individual returns. We return with a ever developing brain.
Right, because of the imprint of the past life on that brain. Obviously, we're going to be impacted by the preceding lives that we had. That's what brings us into the current lifetime. So we're going to have
those
experiences or those benefits. I mean, if we had a very spiritual past life, I mean, wouldn't we be more spiritual potentially in this life, or have at least that chance to be more spiritual?
You know, there's this movie out now, Silence, that Scorsese's doing, based on an old history, but also a book, in the idea of the aspect of faith and religion and how much is one willing to give up their life for the matters of faith in terms of the some of the challenges that we may have. Are you willing to die for your faith? You know, how intense is that energy? Does it ultimately come to a conclusion where you gradually climb into indecision or doubt?
Starring Kirk Douglas. I'm joking. It's a joke.
That was another aspect of his idea about
faith. I know. That's why I made it. It was a joke. But anyway, yeah, it was a joke.
God.
Yeah, we're not talking about Kirk Douglas.
The aspect,
obviously.
We were dealing with a client who's right now dealing with a spouse that is under the great influence of alcohol and drugs. And even though this person may be empowered with some sense of the person with
financial
alcohol,
security. Oh, yeah.
May be empowered with some sense of heart and soul and spirit. The element and the chemical reaction of the alcohol and the drugs has overtaken the better parts of his humanity. So, you know, when we get into that zone, now let's say that this person dies, for instance, in this conflict, it is our belief that the person will come back and have to face the challenge of the dichotomy between the passion of the brain, the addiction of the brain, the karma that was produced under such a conflict, and how in this lifetime it's going to be worked out. That's why some people have this immediate conviction to have almost have a connection to spirit as children, and they don't lose it. They maintain it through life because they make a conviction within the gray matter of their brain that they're going to be determined to pursue those ideals throughout a lifetime, as opposed to somebody who's still indecisive from the get-go, from the time they actually enter the world. There's going to be a conflict throughout life. They're not ready to make that resolution. So we have a sort of disorganized brain to the extent that it comes with the idea of certainty. If someone is certain or not about coming back to the planet, and that's not something we're totally in our immediate life conscious of, because it's all preconditioned before we actually return as we start to make up our blueprint for life.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting, and I mentioned, because I thought you were going to say something about this person's financial security because of the prominent positions that they have in terms of their business life and their family and so on and so forth. So it's interesting how karma will mix itself up, and you can be seemingly balanced in the first chakra as far as money is concerned and security and foundation, but then you're all screwed up on the upper floors, you know?
You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to the kingdom of God. The concept,
well, obviously,
the concept of spirituality is small and vast. The concept of money is wide and expansive. So when you get into that dichotomy, what you're really talking about is the concept of money, and the pursuit of money is fine what it is, but it's not inner. It's not really an inner drive that seeks the consciousness of the brain on a high level.
Right. And that's part of what we're talking about, is the loosely organized sixth chakra. You know, some people take care of their responsibilities on those lower chakra levels in some areas, and then they forget about, you know, the spiritual aspect of their lives. And
that's why we incorporate the idea of balance. I think that there's a certain balance that one can attain in the pursuit of pleasure and happiness and material accommodations that is not in disagreement with the spiritual evolution of the brain. So I think that there's a common ground where the two can meet and bond and not be contrary to one another. But what gets confusing in that journey is ideas of ego and desire,
right,
and fear and thirst. These are the ideas that tend to confuse the purity of what would otherwise make an agreeable union.
Right, because, I mean, you know, even in the spiritual community, there are many people that are, you know, professing to be intuitives, experts on life coaching, things like that. And these are people that have had major problems in getting their own lives together. And, you know, 6 months later, 7 months later, they're offering programs where they're saying, well, you know, let us guide you in our lives. We're going to fix your life for you. And these are people who couldn't fix their own life on a very basic level. That's another confusion. These are people who have interest in the sixth chakra, interest in psychic energy, but, you know, it's all confused.
You know, we get into these ideas and it gets rather difficult, but let's bring it down to a stage where maybe it's more comprehensible. Let's look at the idea of obesity. When you become obese, you know, does obesity feed laziness or does laziness feed obesity? The idea is that basically we have dopamine in the brain and the idea of how we can work with our brain.
I was just reading about dopamine in the newspaper. They're talking about, I don't know what article it was, but anyway, about how the chemicals lessen as you age.
Uh-huh. Well, if you tend to eat a lot, and what that does is it obstructs the idea of exercise because it tends to promote the idea of being a couch potato. You robbed your brain of vital nutrients and chemicals, and you become obese, you become a couch potato. And then what you have to do is you have to work hard and hard and hard and be motivated and get out of your context of thinking in order to reduce that weight and go on a certain program like you were talking about,
right.
Certain procedures. The idea of just the body itself is a daily maintenance. What you intake, what you excrete, what you burn off in calories. If you eat a lot of calories, you burn off a lot of calories. Or, you know, it's a balance of energy. Just the body itself has a certain balance and maintenance that must be maintained in order to keep the function and balance of the body in order, or else you're going to have a lopsided body. And just as you can have over riches, you can have over fat. And that idea of overabundance comes from the idea, too, of appetite. And appetite is connected to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people will give a very good presentation about why they eat. They even know why they're eating, but they don't have the ability to maintain a balance of life whereby beyond knowing, well, I'm eating because I'm hurting it, you know, I hide the pain, whatever. They don't have the ability to get past that notion and apply the practice of balance in one's life. So it's just not an admittance as to what your condition is, but it's an attack upon it whereby you redeem yourself and resolve yourself of your issues and actually restore balance to your life. Well, it's the same thing between the mental aspects and the body aspects, or the brain itself has that battle going through it for the sheer idea that we have two hemispheres,
mm-hmm.
and those hemispheres are supposed to be in sync. Right now, you're going through a exercise of writing with both hands.
That's right.
And
well, I and in
not
that
not at the same time.
Not at the same time. But in that, I've discovered, you know, because the way I was taught, you know, of course, you go through printing and then cursive. But then I changed school districts because of a move, and then they taught Danilian writing. So I learned Danilian printing, and then I went back to a parochial school which taught cursive. So my handwriting, even in my dominant hand, is kind of a mess as it is. So I'm practicing not only cursive with the right hand, but I'm doing it with the left hand as well. And it's quite challenging, actually, because I think I had some holes in my, you know, penmanship.
This
training.
Well, the idea, I've done this with clients over the years, is I've suggested to clients to start writing with the other hand.
Because it helps to balance the hemispheres of the brain.
It actually is right. And it's kind of a crude way of achieving a sense of balance, but I put it in the same league as the Karate Kid, where wax on, wax off. You're dealing with the idea that you are exercising both energies of your brain. So one quick clue to achieving some slower effective challenge in the brain is to exercise the use of your less dominant hand in writing. Practice it. And I mean writing.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, you know, I as I mean, we use both hands in our everyday activities, and some of us even do more specialized things where we've used our right and left hands throughout our life, which I have actually. But still,
well, in the manual aspects, yes. Writing is an intellectual. Your brain is compelled to. Well, it's a dexterity thing.
Right. There's.
But it's an idea that you're intellectualizing lines into symbols and forms and writing with that. So the brain is on a higher mechanical mode of movement. And if you're forcing your hand to formulate letters into words, and you're getting that hand to communicate in such a way that the letters and the lines formulate into comprehensible symbols, then you're going well beyond just pulling a plug out of a wall with your left or right hand.
Right, but I mean, if you're playing an instrument, for instance.
Same thing.
What do you mean, same thing? Pulling a plug?
No, as writing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's my point. So it's interesting that, you know, there'd be a challenge in the writing aspect. But again, I'm challenged in my right hand. So, okay, so we're talking way too much, and we haven't even, I think what we'll do next show, Neil, is maybe get into more examples, because, you know, I started to bring up an example about, you know, an overconfidence and an imbalance in the brain. And there's a lot of people that are insecure and don't feel like they can really succeed in life. And that's because of an imbalance in the brain, when they really are capable and qualified to do the things they seek to do. So we'll get into that on the next show. 608 is our first call, and our callers actually have been patient. Thanks for waiting in the queue. Everybody in the queue is going to be getting a reading, so do continue to hold your places in line. 608, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jill.
Hi, Jill, and I'm hearing myself back. Do you have a radio on?
Just a TV.
Well, something is, I'm hearing...
Yeah,
I'm going to have my daughter turn the TV off.
I don't know if that would cause it. I mean, sometimes people have their internet on and are listening to the show that way.
Yeah, we're hearing
that's going to be distracting.
Our words are bouncing back.
Okay, she's going to move it.
Move my computer.
Oh, what happened to it?
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, what's your birth date?
12/17/1960.
Have we spoken with you before? I'm trying to remember, and I can't.
It's been like a year ago.
Okay, so I do remember you, but I don't remember anything about you. 7/8/19/11/21/27/9. Okay, what's going on, Jill? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Okay. All right, what's your question?
Okay, my question is I know I was born with gifts of mediumship, psychic ability, healing, all of those things, and then some, and, you know, I'm blocked from using them most of the time, and I would like to use them and do something with it, and what is the block?
Okay, so, you know, have gifts? Have you developed them on any practical level?
You know, I was just born that way.
Right, but I mean, beyond being born that way, have you done anything like any applied effort to try to hone the skill?
No.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, first of all, she's a 27/9. You're 7. You've got a 7 in your fire number, which is the 7 chakra, spiritual, and a 6. But she's next. She's got a 6 next to the 0. So that may be part of what is causing a problem in the code. That's the 6 chakra next to a 0. So
yeah, that's the challenge of your psychic abilities. What's happening, Jill? If you're trying to decide where the block is in the karma of your relationship. So what you have to analyze here is your relationship quality throughout time. I might suggest or question whether you have healthy relationships. Are you divorced or are you in a loving relationship?
I grew up in a very toxic family, so I've attracted toxic people to me, and I am now eliminating all of that one by one.
Yeah. Well, what's happening?
That's good.
You see, Jill, so if you're asking us as a team here, what is the problem? What is the block? we're determining that your block was due to the toxicity of your relationship that was already predetermined before you came in here. So you have, your barrier is in connection to the karma of your relationship with your significant other.
Right, because she has an 11 in her karmic side, and 11 actually flanks the 2, which is relationship. 2 is the relationship, 11 obviously is an 11, which is a 2.
So,
and foundation.
Right. So in analyzing, in diagnosing your problem, pertaining to your question, our diagnosis is the very thing you validated, the toxicity of your experiences in your upbringing. Now, you're starting to get rid of that stuff. And so that is a good thing. That's a good thing. Your master number is 9. And you've actually gone through 6 cycles already of your master number, which would have been a 54. Between 54 and 63, you're 56 now, which in essence is an 11. You're in the process of resolving these issues. So as you resolve these issues, you're actually going backward in immediate time and getting rid of the baggage, getting rid of the toxic stuff. You're doing some deep root cleaning, which is attached to the idea of deep past life cleaning, so that in this lifetime, somewhere, anywhere between now and 63, sooner the better than later, you're going to have more fully developed and actualized positions of psychic ability. They're going to come in more clearly. You're going to get in more in touch with them because you will have cleared the debris, the pollution. You're doing some deep root cleaning. You haven't been pointed to the dentist for a while, and you're saying at 56, you're right now ready to tackle the root problem. And that's what you're doing. And I would assume it might take a good year with improvements along the way as the best note. So by the time you're 57, leading up to that, it should get, things should get better. 57 should be a dynamite year for psychic evaluations that apply to your life. And the idea that you're going to get healthy and have a better agenda. Yeah, all of that should be in the improvement stage. The only thing you would have a problem with is if you get caught up in the emotional aspect of the toxicity of your past and you become a victim of it again. That would be your only problem, but that's surmountable.
And I know I keep bringing up the practical level, but Jill, also as a suggestion, you know, being born with gifts is fantastic. Neil was born with very, very acute psychic gifts. I had psychic gifts, but they were much more buried. But I mean, even someone like Neil, who had this prodigious entrance into the world of psychic energy, has worked diligently throughout a lifetime on developing those skills. So you just aren't born with gifts. You know, pianist Mozart didn't just, you know, play the piano coming out of the womb. He developed his gifts. So that's something on a practical level that you should do, because it's a very complex world to navigate. So I suggest that as well.
Thank you. That was excellent.
Oh, thank you so much.
I mean, just excellent and like right on the money. Perfect.
Well, thank you, Jill. We appreciate the feedback and wish you a very happy new year.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Good. Glad to hear it. And Jill, you can join us here on Blog Talk Radio and also on Facebook and on Twitter. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. You know, there's training that can be done over the phone, in fact, third eye exercises and things like that. So it helps to have a guide, that's for sure. 706 area code is our next caller. Thanks for being patient. 706, who's this?
Hi, this is Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Is that with an F or PH?
PH.
Okay. And Sophia, where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Georgia. She's a Georgia peach. It must be beautiful there. I've never been to Georgia, but I would like to go.
No, but it's going to be on our minds today.
Good one. The food, too. I'm interested in the food in Georgia. I mean, I'm not a meat eater, but
the southern
there's
cooking.
A lot of different things I'm sure I would enjoy. Sophia, what is your birth date?
It is November 25th, 1972.
1972, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And 19 and 9, 10, 1. Yeah, but I got her karmic side. Okay. And what is your question, Sophia?
My question is, and I just changed it literally on the drop of a dime. Here over the past several months, I've had an overwhelming urge and pull. I won't say wishful thinking because we all would wish that way, to leave corporate America. It does not make any sense whatsoever financially. Just to, I don't know, experience some type of freedom of, you know, and maybe going forth with my own endeavors. Just looking for some insight, guidance, or is this something that I should just let unfold if it's going to unfold?
What can we ask what type of work she does? Do you want me to wait? What time do you want me to wait?
No, you can ask.
What type of work do you do?
Now?
Yes.
You mean at this moment?
The corporate.
I am in the international business of importing and exporting. More along
international,
the lines.
Import, export. You know what's just interesting real quick, Sophia, is about Sophia's birthday is she was a 27-9 prior to this, and she was born actually in 1972. In fact, her day and month add up to a 27. So you've got kind of a mirror energy going on, and it involves the life that you had last, because you, as you progress, Sophia, it's, you know, the previous life, you would have been the number before 28, 27 equals nine. You're a 28, 10, one in this lifetime. So you've got a compounded energy, but that it again appears in your year and in the sum of your month and day 11/25 is a 27 as well. But
yeah.
About the career question.
Yeah, well, to 27, and to elaborate on that, Sophia, you see, your 11 in your month is a 2, your 25 in your day is a 7, but it's broken up. It becomes actualized over in your year. So what you're really speaking of is in this part of your life now at 54, you are taking the first part of your life and moving it over into a whole new phase. So
okay.
Point one, we're recommending that you examine this great departure and renewal of ideas. That's number one. Two, whether it's important to you or not, when you were talking, I came up with the idea of Spain. Now, it doesn't matter whether you have a connection with Spain or not. Spain could just represent the other corporate America kind of connection. And you're dealing with import, export. And right now we're dealing with the great dilemma about what we're going to do with China. So there's a great kind of current historical note about corporate America. Trump's presidency is going to really bring up some of the issues about corporate America as it becomes some of the main themes of our nation. And so in that respect, you're kind of getting involved in the idea of a kind of governmental regulation process, or maybe deregulation process, that I think your consciousness is connected to currently on the world stage. So when we look at you in relation to the world, Sophia, we're also looking at your individuality in that context. And I think that to answer your question on an immediate level, the dramatic change about leaving corporate America, whatever it is, whatever your concepts are, you're in the right idea. The only thing I would say is to be cautious of the lack or the loss of income during that transition. You want to make sure that it's a smooth transition.
Does she have, Sophia, is there an idea of what type of work you want to get into to replace income?
Yes, most definitely.
What can you express that to us?
It would be on the lines of spirituality, more coaching, counseling, and also using some gifts.
A lot of people that call our show want to do this type of work, that's for sure.
Yeah. You see, what you're dealing with, Well, first of all, you have to, okay, let's look at the practical brain. What you're making now, you want to make an easy transition to a shift of income that will accommodate your basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making an X amount now in corporate America, and I would assume you're making a relatively safe and stable income, the idea of moving into the spiritual realm and the healing realm and all that, it gets a little tricky. The main line is that you're not going to make a lot of money at the beginning. It's not a matter of money because it's the antithesis.
Correct.
Of the spirit. So you've got to sort of condition and move with the flow and the flexibility of handling both worlds. Now, if you just want to let go, or you're prepared to just let go, that's your courageous prerogative. You can do that and just go for it. I would suggest a smooth transition between the two, and but with the note being, Sophia, that you move deeper into the essence of spirit. And there's going to be something about European energy that you're going to be connected to, I think, from a past life. So I don't know exactly where this is coming from, but it could come from regions of Africa as much as from regions of Spain. They're sort of interconnected anyways. But there's this general area of mysticism that I think you're going to be encountering as well.
I agree. Thank
you. Okay. Sophia, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
That was beautiful.
Good
Bye-bye.
Luck to you. Bye-bye. Okay. Our next 501. Hi, who's this?
Hi. This is Lamarla.
What's your name?
Smith.
Lamarla. Oh, don't give your full name.
What's her?
Marla? Morla or Marla?
Lamarla.
Lamarla. Oh, yes. We've talked to you before, haven't we?
Yes, you have.
Yeah. What's your birth date again, Lamarla? I don't have it memorized. Some I do, some I don't. I'm sorry?
August 23rd, 1971.
Okay. And you're in Arkansas or something, is that right?
I am, yes.
What's going on? 1323. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been getting a lot of urges to write here lately. And I just want to know if you see it, if I should write a small book or launch my first business program first.
Launch your what program?
My first business program, my first program in my business.
Okay. And you work with kids, don't you, if I'm remembering that correctly?
That's in my full-time job, but in my business is empowerment coaching and energy healing.
So, yeah, that's your second
yes,
deal,
ma'am.
But you have a regular job. So, and the book, what would the book topic be? Would it be in the spiritual realm?
Yes, on women and healing. Yes.
Women and healing. What do you think she should do first? She's got a 5, 2, 3
well,
in her day.
You know, I tell you something. I think you're 45 years old. You're basically 14 years past the journey of your karma, where your karma lends itself more into journeys of transcendence at the age of 31. You have a spiritual energy in your year based on the foundation of the first chakra, which is the grounding of spirituality. So I don't think you have to decide between the two, Lamarla. You have to incorporate both. I would say, you know, you said to write a small book. Writing a small book small books, you know, we look at The Little Prince, it's a small book. Small books sometimes have big depth. You know?
Yes.
So, and so I wouldn't, you know, you're going to write a little book? Like, is it 2 by 2 inches? Or is it a book that is normal size with big ideas and fantastic ideas, but you want it to be sort of simplistic in form? I would say So I would say that you have time for both. if you have time to develop your business, your program of business in the empowerment of women and whatnot, and you have time to eat, and you have time to sleep, and you have time to go to the movies, watch TV, you have time to write a small book. So I would say to become excited about the creative duplication of your psyche. Creative duplication of your psyche being that you'll do both. It's not a question.
Yeah, we have a lot of things going in our lives. Simultaneously. Okay. Creative and intellectual levels.
Chris and I do the radio show. We do readings. And we're working on an immense book of numerology that is thousands of pages in volume.
Wow. And from our own personal creative, you know, energies. I mean, we do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Gotcha.
What?
And it'll keep the momentum going. I got you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lamorla. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year. Okay. God, I feel like my voice sounds like I'm yelling, gravelly. Happy New Year.
Like
the ogre.
We had to talk to Arkansas. That's some distance.
That's true. I had to project over there, but okay. 845.
Yes, hello, guys.
Hi.
I am Carmen, and my date of birth is May 5th, 1962.
May 6th, who's this?
May 5th.
And what's your name?
Carmen.
Okay. Carmen. Yes. Where are you calling from?
From New York.
Okay, New York. And you're a 28101, and you are, how old are you? You are 54. 54.
I will be 55 next year, 2017.
You'll be 55 next year. You will. Okay. And what's your question?
In regarding to love, I am divorced.
Okay.
And it seems that my last two relationships with boyfriend hasn't gone well.
Well, that's no fun. So you're looking for a relationship, maybe.
Yes.
56, perhaps?
Okay. Well, you, Carmen, you have entered this planet with a general idea of relationship dilemmas anyways. First of all, your two fives are a coupling of the same number. That becomes a 10. As it crosses over to the 19, it becomes a 20. 20 is the sign of relationship.
And she has a 2.
And then you have a 2 at the end of your life, another sign of relationship, next to a 6, which is the sign of the psyche. Now, what's happening is that you mentioned it yourself. You're talking in code, Carmen. When you become 55, that will be the matching numbers of your first two numbers in your birth date. So even though you will be 55, they will match the 5-5 in your month and day.
That's right.
Correct.
Now, what does that mean? That means that probably at 55, somewhere in that year, you find a new potential partner.
You know what?
Yeah.
Thanks.
The problem, you know, you've been hurt, and you said your last two, there's that two again, didn't go well. They didn't go well because, number one, we get into the
number
idea.
Number one, number two.
Number one, we get into the idea
because
that you are compounded. You are compounded. Your master number is 28 equals 10. There's that 10 equals 1. So by being a compounded human being that's invested or whatever you want to call it, embellished with a lot of karma, you've had a lot of karma to get through, and I think those last two relationships were karmic relationships. The one I'm suggesting, the one we're suggesting, is that this one coming up at 55 is going to be a transcendent relationship.
What I think is also interesting, Neil, which I didn't notice the 55, of course, she's going to be 55, but in her cross is 56. So if you erase that century or don't look at the century, 55 to 56, and when you double her karmic number, it's 56, 28 and 28. So between 55 and 56, and she
doubling
crosses into that transcendent energy at the 56.
Yeah.
So
what, you know, we don't normally deal with magic. It put in the crude sense of magic. It's magic in its crude definition is really superfluous. It's just, you know, decoration. But I'm going to suggest something. I want you to surround yourself with the colors of black, yellow, and green. Now, that doesn't mean you have to wear them, but if you're a festive person, and your name suggests you are festive, Carmen.
Yes, I am.
Fiery and festive. If you were in dance and you wanted to perform in dance in a colorful way on stage or in some form of dance recreational process, a costume that had the fiery colors of bold black for the night, bold yellow for the sun, and bold green for the envy, for the quality of the heart. Those are energies that I think I want to put in you in terms of chakra colors. And black isn't really a chakra color, but it is an absolute color that signifies that unknown variable that I think females have. Males have them too in the kind of dark quality of the dance, of the performance, of the passion of life. We love that darkness because it's a mysterious quality. But when it's involved in the fiery energy of yellow, the third chakra, and green, the heart, that's 3 and 4, 7, spirituality. I think if you surround yourself with those colors, it might promote, and colors is important. The flowers have colors, birds.
Oh, yes, I do know that, yes. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah, so
I will follow your advice. I will, Neil. I will.
Okay, please do let us know, Carmen, what happened, okay?
I will.
Okay.
I will. And Happy New Year to you both.
Take care. All right, we have one last caller. Hi, 203.
Hello. My name is Victoria.
I'm Victoria?
Yes.
Okay, I think we've spoken with you before, Victoria. I remember you. Have we?
I can't remember. Not anytime recently. It might have been a while ago.
Yeah, I think so, because Victoria's not a common name. That comes on the show, and I remember it. It's an old-fashioned name. What is your birth date?
July 19, 1990.
And where are you calling from?
Connecticut.
Okay. And what's your question?
My question is, do you see things moving forward and improving with the man in my life? His name is Jeff.
Jeff, birth date for him?
December 23rd, 1988.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, and 16. He's a 32.5, is that right? Did I do that right?
34.
Wait, what did I do wrong? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, mm-hmm. 16. Yeah, 34.7. 34.7. 34.7, that's your month, actually. He's a 7, you're a 9. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do we have time? Well, Jeff's master number is your month, Victoria, and your master number actually appears in your fire number, which is the second number in the day of your birthday. So that's 9. Also in your year, 1990, and I just want to look at 7, 8, 9, 10. They have a 10 between them. 39, 12, 3. Your numbers together become a 16, 7 because 9, anything you add to 9 becomes the number that you add to it. So 9 is kind of eternal number, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys become his master number. And what else is there going on, Neil? 8-1. His first and last numbers become your master number. 1-8 becomes a 9. So there's definitely a connection, but you're saying that there are problems
between
the two.
Their years are interchangeable.
Their years are interchangeable.
The
89 and 80.
Well, Victoria rules the world, don't they? Isn't that Victoria? That's that song, Queen Victoria.
Wait, did I write his their years?
12/23/1988.
Right. How are their years interchangeable?
The 8 and the 9.
And the 8 and the 0, that doesn't become the 90.
No,
they're not interchangeable.
I didn't think so. No, they're not. They're right. Okay, so, yeah, a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a problem. The problem being with between Victoria and Jeff right now, as I'm picking up the energy, Jeff is confused about a past relationship that he hasn't resolved yet. Are you aware of any dialogue between the two of you where he has talked about a past relationship that was problematic for him?
Not too extensively, but I do feel there was a relationship that he got her in.
Okay, so with that sort of feeling about it, without it coming out into a direct, immediate conversation, do you feel that he totally trusts the relationship he's in with you, that you feel that there's a general flow of trust between the two of you to where there's absolutely no obstructions? Or do you feel that there's something obstructing? And I know you suggested it already, but do you feel that there's something suggestive of an obstruction in his trust level with you?
I'm not sure if he doesn't trust me. I think it's more of I feel like he's not very happy with himself and where he's at in his life. And I feel like because of that, he's having a hard time getting close to me. I think he sees me as, you know, a trusting person. I never gave him a reason to.
No, Victoria, your definition of trust is a little bit different from where I'm going. The definition of trust, what you said essentially captures where I'm coming from, because there's something about himself that he doesn't trust. There's something about an experience outside of his experience with you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that is hooked to that resulted in maybe a relationship he had that was troublesome, but what it's collecting in its journey is he doesn't have total trust in himself, which goes into not having total trust in a relationship. I didn't mean to imply that you're giving him a reason not to trust you. He doesn't trust you because he doesn't trust himself. He doesn't trust himself, and so therefore he doesn't trust his environment. So there's an unstable quality in there, and there could be something wrong with one of his parents. I don't know if one of his parents went through a sickness or there was a complication.
His mother passed away a couple of years ago. She had a brain aneurysm. And I don't think his relationship with his father is too wonderful.
So then psychically we're picking up on the idea that his mother's crossed over. He's relatively young, too young for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a good relationship with his father. So you're involved, or maybe you're in love with a man that has problems. Not to say that you're perfect, but you're asking us, how is it going to go? Realistically, problematic. But what people do with problems is they live through them. They try to work them out. I'm not saying that the two of you can't work this out, but what I'm saying is that it's a problem that will not just go away with time. There's got to be an interactive quality in there. Somebody has to interact on some behalf to help Jeff get through this issue. And since you're his partner, you're involved in the process, and then I can see a fruitful and bountiful relationship, but it's not going to come through natural flow
right.
of
and
events.
She's what, 26? You're 26?
Yes.
26, so 10 years, she's going to be 36. So she has 10 years to go before she reaches the karmic age of 36. So there'll be a change then. This relationship doesn't necessarily need to be the last relationship she's in.
No, but you see, she has a 9 in her day, and that's on the karmic side. So she can actually feel some form of actualization in
now.
The process of
right.
being the age she is, especially at the age of 27. This July,
because
you're going to be going through a major change. So, you know, to me, the answer to your question, intervention, therapy, get somebody,
how,
a therapist,
how,
a psychic, somebody.
How long have you been with Jeff, Victoria?
I've known him a little over a year now.
Yeah. So basically, you've known him a little bit over a year, so you're meeting him at the age of 25, which is basically 11 years up to your karma, 36.
Mm.
So it's a, It doesn't matter. What matters is there's got to be some, if the hope, the two of you get yourself to either someone you trust who can help guide the two of you. Specifically, mm-hmm. Jeff's going to need it. You know, we haven't gotten mm-hmm. to your psyche per se. But because I feel that the compelling factor was in Jeff's psyche in regards to your relationship with him. But I think it takes two to work things out. And that would be my first comment. You know, you need further analysis, further mm-hmm. into it.
Yeah, I definitely think we need to communicate more. But a lot of that needs to be his willingness to be open to communicate.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's going to do that or not remains to be seen. Unfortunately, Victoria, on this show, that's all we have time for because we're getting our 60-second warning. But you're always welcome to call back or you can call after the show, 562-596-7818, to explore this further. I mean, it's definitely not something a brief radio reading can accommodate in full because there's
right.
a lot of investigation to be done for sure. But it can
right.
it's possible. There's a possible resolution.
Okay. Just really, I know you guys are ending the show, but really quickly, he lives in California. He took a job promotion last January. Do you see him coming back to Connecticut?
With 30 seconds left.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's possible. I think the agenda to channel of him coming back is going to be a lot of the compelling factor is going to be you.
Okay. Okay.
So,
all right, well,
you know,
thank
we're
you
talking
so much.
About, yeah. So
yeah.
it's not a story we can resolve today.
Okay.
Okay.
Victoria, all right,
well,
thanks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. All right. We are finished with our last show of the year, and I forgot to say it's our, 460th show today?
460 shows. Wow.
Yeah. 460 hours.
We suggest you watch us on a marathon.
We can't watch. I mean, you listen.
Yeah,
listen
to us on a marathon. Don't eat. Don't drink. Just put us on, and for the next 460 hours,
if you want to find a way to leave the planet quickly,
yeah.
listen to us for that length
you'll
of time.
Probably
you'll
be
die.
Bored
you'll...
In the, after the first episode, but it will be an easy death.
Gosh, the first episode. Anyway, there were some funny things that happened on that show that I remember. But anyway, yeah, 460 episodes. And actually, Neil, that's the doubling of our karma. I mean, not the doubling. We're not 340 and 300. That's not our karmic numbers, but 30 and 34 are our karmic numbers together. So,
yeah.
That's
and on behalf
that 46,
of us
64
and
Neptune inverted.
Cole, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Talk to you in January 2017. Bye-bye.